This is Jesus, sent by the Father to be crushed for the sins of the world. This is Jesus, declaring to all he would be killed and then raised to life on the third day. This is Jesus, healing the sick, casting out demons, raising the dead. This is Jesus, a missing body from an empty tomb on a Sunday morning. This is Jesus, the image of invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, the Lamb of God, the light of the world. This is Jesus, Savior, Lord, King, Alpha, Omega, Creator, Redeemer, Friend to sinners, Hope of nations, the Messiah. This is Jesus, the resurrection and the life for all who trust in him. Wake up. Wake up, O sleeper, and rise from the dead. This is Jesus.
Privilege. Here's what the scripture says. You can see this on your screen. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as his dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. It's focusing in on verse number one before we pray. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as his dear children. Don't you love the Word of God? How many love and need the Word of God this morning? Come on, pray with me and let's bless our time in the Word. Father, we love you. We thank you so much, God. Lord, for the great privilege, the opportunity that we have today, Lord, to grow and to learn, to be together in your house, to sit, Lord, and hear and apply the Word of God into our life today. And Father, we just know that we rely upon your word. We need your word and we love your word. So help us to appropriate your word into our life today. In the name of Jesus, we pray together. Amen. 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 Thank God. This is Jesus. This month, we're going to be focusing just for the next few weeks on three ways to grow and imitate Christ. When we say this is Jesus, we're talking about the context of looking at Jesus and listening to him and then fashioning our lives after him. Because how many realize this morning he set the examples and expects us as his children to follow hard after him? Thank God. And so just over the next few weeks today, we're focusing on really kicking off the message series today, talking about worship and prioritizing worship. So really talking about our deeply devoted worship life and following Jesus in that. And then next week, we're going to be talking about this is Jesus and winning against sin and temptation. And then finally, toward the conclusion of the month on the 20th, we're going to be talking about this is Jesus in finding freedom through forgiveness. Jesus set examples in all of these areas of life, and he expects us to grow in them. And so thank God for opportunities to do that today. So over the next few weeks, we're going to focus on being more like Christ, kind of a summer theme that we've had going on all summer long here in the life of the church. So let's begin this morning by looking at an amazing New Testament Bible story from Luke chapter 10, the story of Jesus visiting the home of Mary and Martha in Bethany. A very familiar passage today. But before we do, I want to stand here for just a moment and be intentional about creating a very awkward silence. Isn't that weird? Think about how awkward it is to stand here with nothing going on, nothing being said. I'm doing this as an example today. Just one more time. See how awkward it feels? Very unusual. Y'all ready for the word? Really? Y'all ready for the awkward silence to end? Yes, she said, yes, very real. Now, you're going to see why I'm doing that in just a moment. It has to do with the context of the message. But I want you to see today how sometimes we get into a hurry and we need to slow down, don't we, guys? All right. In particular today, as we'll see, we need to learn how to slow down in the presence of God. Can y'all receive that this morning? Amen. Jesus visiting Mary and Martha, Luke chapter 10, beginning of verse number 38. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. Notice the word this morning begins in the story by contrasting the two sisters, Mary and Martha. We're going to see how these two women had much different attitudes about the Lord's presence. Moving on to verse number 40. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, look what the Lord said. He said, you are worried and upset over all these details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. And Mary has discovered it. And it will not be taken away from her. Read that part one more time. Jesus said, there's only one thing. Everybody say one thing. Come on. There's only one thing to be concerned about, and it's Mary who has discovered that one thing worthy, and it will not be taken from her. You've probably noticed in your life that in this life that we're all living, it is an extremely busy life. Jesus is going to use this moment here in Bethany at the home of Mary and Martha to help us see how we need to master the pressure to be busy. We need to master the pressure to be busy and overcome our tendency to be distracted, church, especially when it's time to engage with Jesus and be in his presence. When we say this is Jesus this morning, I want us to understand that we're showing you the teachings in the life of Jesus, and I'm hoping we can all align our lives with this and become more like him. We need to slow down in God's presence and learn how to be calm and learn how to rest and receive from God in his presence. Not be so hustling and bustling and in a hurry to move on to our next things in life. It's an issue that many people in the world, but also in the body of Christ, face every day and every week. But church, hear me out. You and I in this church, in this body, we're going to grow to a point where his presence takes precedence over all other issues of life. I want you to receive that right there, guys. Come on. We're going to grow to where his presence is what takes precedence over all other issues of life. That's our goal right now this morning, to focus. Are we going to become great at setting aside distractions and become champions at entering into God's presence and being content to stay there for as long as he wants us to be there? I am talking about depth in worship right now. I'm talking about the ability to focus and give Jesus our time and our attention in a way where we can be changed rather than being in a hurry to move on to our next thing. Mary and Martha lived in Bethany with their brother Lazarus. And it seems that when Jesus stayed with them, when he came to Bethany, and sometimes his disciples perhaps came to eat dinner. And in this moment in our story, when Jesus and the disciples came to have dinner there, Martha, the one sister, began to panic. She had too much to do and not enough time to do it. Have you ever been there before? How many know what I'm talking about? Got too much to do and not enough time to do it, which is the recipe for being distracted and being in too big of a hurry. Martha was distracted by all of her tasks, thinking about the things that she had to do. We could say that she was overcommitted. She was too busy and preoccupied, which is a situation that everybody in here is familiar with because preoccupation is rampant in our life. And we've got to learn this and confront this part of our life if we're going to master setting aside distractions and lingering and being content to stay in God's presence. Our challenge this morning is to look inside and figure out if we're going to spend our time and our attention concerned with the wrong things at the wrong times and miss the most important things. And in the story, we see that Jesus contrasted two sisters with two different attitudes. He said about Mary, the first attitude here, the first attitude we see in the story is the attitude of Sister Mary. Jesus said she knew what was most important. She sat at Jesus' feet. She was content putting the responsibilities aside and putting her worries aside and not worrying about what's going on around her and just sitting at Jesus' feet. And Jesus said that this was the only thing going on in the room that day that was worthy and important. That's it. He said that Mary had discovered that one thing that was worthy to be concerned about. In that moment, being with him was what mattered. This morning, as we come to church and we have worship and prayer and we engage the Word of God in the presence of God, I think the Lord would have us understand this. Right now, being with Jesus and receiving from him is the only thing worthy to be concerned about. Not what's going on outside the church or in the world or in the government or in your life or your family or anything else. When it's time to just be with the Lord, he would have us sit at his feet and be content with just being with him. Just be with him. And how we can grow from this story and looking at Mary and her example through Jesus is to discover what she discovered. That when it's time to focus on the Lord's presence and be fully devoted to our time with him, nothing else gets to creep into our moments with Jesus and get us distracted from being with him. Come on, church, do you love him this morning? I know I've been harping on this for weeks, but I'm going to tell you right now, it's the presence of God that makes all the difference. It's when we get excited and get committed and get devoted to stepping outside of the world's ways and the world's philosophies and the world's way of doing things and come into the presence of God with a mindset to say, you know what? Nothing else gets to climb up on my mind right now. Nothing else gets to creep up in my life and get me distracted from the things of God, from the presence of God. I am intent right now on touching God, experiencing him, and I am ready to be content and stay there, right? As long as he wants me to stay. Come on, are y'all with me this morning? That's how we can grow from this. The second attitude that we see in this story is the story of Martha here, who seemed to suffer from what plagues a lot of people today. She had hurry sickness. Come on, can y'all say that one? Say hurry sickness. Are you plagued with hurry sickness this morning? Sometimes I am. I have to remind myself to slow down and be present and be focused. And then since we're going to grow and to become deeply devoted worshipers of God and follow Jesus into becoming a dynamic, devoted, passionate worshiper and lover of his presence, I don't want anybody in here to suffer from hurry sickness. See, she was so concerned with her tasks that she missed the whole point of Jesus showing up in the first place. She was so concerned with her sister and what somebody else was doing that she missed her opportunity to engage the Lord in a deeply spiritual, life-changing way. And this is what happens with so many believers in church today. We are so distracted from time to time by everything else taking place and all that's going on and all the circumstances in our life when God wants to touch you and change you and help you and show up and manifest himself in our life. Sometimes we just don't have eyes to see and ears to hear what God is wanting to do. Let's challenge that this morning and take a step deeper and a step further into the things of God and be changed and to be matured into being somebody who can set aside distractions and say, Lord, here I am. Touch me right now. I'm not setting my eyes on anything else. I just want more of you, Jesus. When we look at Martha, how we can grow from this is to learn that there is a time for thinking about all that we have to do. But if the Lord is going to manifest his presence in our midst, we need to turn our attention off of the rest of life and turn our attention toward engaging Jesus and receiving from all he has for you in that pivotal moment, that moment right there. This is why at times before, prior to our worship experience here at church, I like to get up and remind us, let's set aside our distractions and right now and step into the presence of God. Because you can come in so heavy and so burdened and so distracted by all the things that are going on in life and in the world that God could be moving all over the person right beside you and you not even feel him. How many realize I'm right about it? You can be so caught into your problems and so caught up in what's going on in the world and so discouraged by the news you just got or how you're feeling or the fuss you have with your spouse on the way to church or anything else. Oh, y'all don't do that. I get it. God could be pouring out his spirit all over the place, but you're just so content, focused, and distracted that gladness and simplicity and his touch never affects you because you forgot to set it all aside and get where Jesus is and stay there. Y'all hear me this morning? The other way that we can grow from looking at Martha is to understand what she brought to Jesus. She said, Jesus, look at my sister. She's not doing what I want her to do. So here's how we can grow from this, is to see the importance of not being concerned with what somebody else is doing and focus on our own level of commitment to his presence. Don't focus on everybody else. This is one of the reasons why I like to stand in the altar for worship. It's just one, you know, when I'm up here, everybody else is behind me. Here's the reason why. When it's time to worship Jesus and engage him in his presence and worship him and adore him, I'm not worried so much about everybody else. I'm just worried about Jesus. I'm just concerned with my experience right now with Jesus. Can y'all hear me this morning? You know, I don't have to have everybody to my back to not be distracted by people. I just want to set an example this morning and let you know that, you know what? What's important is getting our eyes fixed on Jesus and entering into his presence and prioritizing his presence in our life right now and not being distracted by all that's going on in somebody else's life or what somebody else is doing. Because I can tell you this right now, being on the platform and looking at apathy sometimes in people can be pretty discouraging. Y'all hear me now. This is why I'm preaching this morning, and we're talking about this is Jesus all month long because I want us to grow to be a deeply passionate people for God. A people who understand that the joy of the Lord is your strength, and his sacrifice has made a difference in your life. And when you call upon the name of the Lord, he will manifest himself in your life and show up wherever you are calling upon him. He'll show up in your car, in your home. He'll show up at your church. And when he shows up, we got to recognize him and be willing to spend some time with Jesus. Amen, everybody. Don't have hurry sickness. That is rush to get to something else while God wants to do something in you right now. Can we get good at this? Hurry sickness. It just means this. And we're all conditioned to do this. It's this. We condense our experiences and compress our thoughts. Most people have at least a little case of hurry sickness. It's when we're conditioned to condense our experiences into something short and quick so that we can move on to the next thing and feel better about what we're doing and what we're accomplishing, instead of living with an intent to rest and receive from God. For a lot of people, your hurry sickness has gotten so deep that you now have the inability to be inspired at all, because you're always trying to figure out what to do and how to do it. And God just wants to douse your life with love and passion and inspiration and pull you from one place to another and one level to another. But sometimes we're so busy trying to figure something out and what we're going to do next and how we're going to do something, and we just completely miss what God has for us. Here's a good way of defining hurry sickness. It's these three attributes right here, guys. It's always being in a rush. It's unable to appreciate the moment with God. It's being too busy to devote your attention. I'm in a hurry. I'm in a rush. But I'm going to slow down just for a moment and practice this and make sure we're absorbing this crucial point this morning, because here's what I want you to see. The most important things in life are not meant to be rushed. Please read through that moment right there. The most important things in life are not meant to be rushed. Not meant to be in a hurry. For example, today, we cannot love in a hurry. Oh, come on, if you love in a hurry, you're going to get yourself in trouble. Can I say that one more time? If you love in a hurry, one way or the other, you're going to be in trouble. We're not supposed to think in a hurry. If you think in a hurry, you're going to be in trouble. Church, we're not supposed to eat in a hurry. We're not supposed to laugh in a hurry. We're certainly not supposed to pray in a hurry. Oh, come on, let's become skilled at slowing down and letting God change us. But most important of all today, worship. Worship is not meant to be rushed. Oh, it's not meant to be rushed. Jesus' presence is not meant to be ran from and scattered through. His presence is about the only thing I can think of is, and you young people who don't have children yet won't understand this, but I can equate it to this. It's like when you long to be with your child, but he or she's got something different that they want to do instead. Anybody know what I'm talking about right there? Maybe you've experienced that. Worship is not meant to be rushed. See, according to Jesus, he said, sitting at his feet is the most worthy thing that you can do. Praise God. I want us to practice this in just a moment and spend a few more minutes in worship, but watch this. Being in a hurry means that you're not living with true awareness. Please hear me. God does not call us to a life of feverish or frantic action. No, Jesus emphasized this. The Lord said, when you come unto me, you're going to receive rest. This is especially important when it comes to worship and experiencing the presence of God. He enables you to rest in his presence and to experience him and to receive from him, because he knows that our distracted, our over-encumbered lives pull us away from the one thing that we need the most, more of his presence. More of his presence is the answer to every issue of life. More of him. Oh, how we need to make that our prayer, church. Jesus, just give me more of you. More of your presence and more of your goodness. More of your mercy and more of your power. We need more of him. Someone will inevitably wonder and ask, what about all the work that needs to be done and all of the tasks and things that we must do? What about Martha? Well, this is Jesus. The Lord demonstrated that we should prioritize his presence while balancing all our responsibilities. Someone may wonder, what about Martha? She was doing some good too, wasn't she? Are we picking on Martha? Are we rebuking Martha? Wasn't she doing some good too? And yes, she was. Hear me, for all of you who just can't really rest until you get so much done. There's always a place for tasks and always a place for accomplishing the things that need to be done, but never at the expense of prioritizing God's rest and his peace and his presence in our life. It was Jesus who demonstrated that there's a time to do and a time to simply be present with the Lord. Look at me at an example. Look with me at an example from Mark chapter 1. Jesus showed us how to prioritize the presence of God. He said this in verse 35. Look at this story. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, he left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone's looking for you." And Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. This is why I've come." Did you notice that Jesus got up early in the morning and he prioritized being with the Father? He didn't say, "Well, let's neglect any of our responsibilities." No, he just said, "You know what? I've got to make sure that I do first things first." What a contrast between the Lord, who had mastered the art of putting everything else aside and getting alone and enjoying his time with the Father, and Simon and his companions and the disciples who frantically panicked, want to know where he is. "We've got something to do, Jesus. Where are you? We're all looking for you. Come on." Church, hear me. There are two times you need to say no to everything else in life so that you could enter his presence and be changed by the Lord. Two times. Number one time is this. Time to say no. When it's time to pray. When it's time to pray, you have got to say no to the thoughts and to the worries, to the people, to problems. You've got to say no to other responsibilities that you can think about later. It's time to pray. It's time to experience isolation and experience aloneness with your Heavenly Father. Set it aside. The other time to say no is this. The other time you need to master that art of saying no is when it's time to worship. Come on, everybody say worship right now. Worship. You have to say no when it's time to worship. You've got to say no to what other people are doing, to what other people are saying. We've got to say no to being distracted. No to anything that is unspiritual, and really refuse to let your time spent adoring God to be invaded by stuff. Those things that are going to block you from touching God and receiving from his presence. If we're going to imitate Christ and grow in this area, church, in deeply devoted worship, please hear me. Note this crucial statement, and we're going to be done with the talk for today. But note this. In our spiritual lives, please hear me. In your spiritual life, anything important cannot be done in a hurry. Could y'all receive that this morning? In your spiritual life, anything that needs to be done cannot be done in a hurry. That's why at the beginning of this message this morning, I created that awkward moment of silence where we did nothing for just about 30 seconds. When it comes to engaging God and touching the Lord and experiencing Jesus, We've got to master that art, that great skill of setting aside all distractions and being willing to engage Him and rest in Him and linger with the Lord. How many know what I'm talking about, guys? Can I see? Here's the issue. Even now, there are people in here who are feeling this way. You're thinking, well, I'm really ready for Him just to shut up so I can go on with my life today. I'm really just ready for Him to say amen, let's shake hands and scoot out the door so I can go on and get some lunch and think, do all this other stuff that I want to do. And that's fine, guys. It's just where some people are, and we get that. But I want us to be able to think about growing and maturing to the point where, you know what? If God's going to have a moment for me, I'm jumping in with 2 feet. I'm jumping in unabashed and unashamed and ready. I'm just going to learn to linger and receive the peace and the rest of God and enjoy the manifest presence of the Lord and make Him my focus. Can y'all receive it today? Let's practice this today. Let's practice spending just a few moments basking and worshiping Him. This is Jesus. It's what he taught us. It's what He demonstrated. This is life change. This is where it happens. It's where growth happens. Happens in slowing down and letting God affect you. Being fully present right where He has you in His presence. Let's sing this chorus together. As we do, let's focus on the Lord. Guys, stand with me all over the house. And let's begin to worship Him just for a few moments. I asked Pastor Mike just to come back really aggressive at the end, and let's just worship and lead and create a worship moment as we conclude today.